This is the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
On the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jack Del Rio Show is sponsored in part by Carrie Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome inside broadcast facilities at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. I'm Brian Sexton, joined by executive producer Joe Fortunato, and we expect the head coach to join us in a couple of minutes for this edition of the Jack Del Rio Show. You know, Jaguars practice this evening. It's not open to the public. The Team Teal folks are on hand, and we're told there's a crowd of more than 1,200 people outside. And congratulations to all of them. Those are the folks that really did the lion's share of the work in helping build this season ticket base over the last 7 or 8 months. So that's a good celebration that's going on out there. This Saturday night, we'll celebrate the opening of Everbank Field. And I've got a Jaguars report coming out later in the week on this. But the fact of the matter is that Everbank is not only the name on the stadium, it is the right partner at the right moment in time. Right for them because their business is growing. Right for the Jaguars because they needed a sponsor. And right for both parties because it really sends a message to the National Football League that Jacksonville has some traction. And so there's a lot to be happy about if you're a Jaguars fan this week in Jacksonville. Our number this evening, and in Orlando, and wherever you may be listening to us here this evening, our number, 800-355-NFL1. 800-355-6351. If you are listening in Jacksonville, it's simply 355-NFL1. And last week, when we had some difficulty with our phone lines, we got the brilliant idea to create a Twitter account and to be able to use that. So if you're Twitter at Jags Voice, JAGSVOICE, and we can take questions that way as well. See, we are, even though Joe and I are two old dogs, we are moving into a new century.
You're moving. I'm slowly getting dragged.
Yeah, and what you hear there is Joe sampling some of the seafood.
Was I talking with my mouth?
Yes, you are. Did your mom not teach you that?
Hey, before you get on that, I want to say, you talked about the fans and Team Teal and the event that's going on outside.
Yes.
How about a shout-out to the fans last week, last Tuesday, for going to Atlanta and joining us up there? How cool was that?
Yeah, there is a group. There is a Jags fan group in Atlanta. They've been active for years. I've seen them on Facebook, and I know they're on Twitter. And Jack went over and found time to be with them as well. For a small market, got some loyal fans.
That was great. Great to see
more of them. Absolutely.
Anyway, talk about the food.
All right. So what people really want to talk about is football, so I should probably wait until Jack gets in here to mention the food. But he isn't here yet, so just want to throw this shout out to the guys, the Frisch family, and everyone over at Seabest. They are now a sponsor here on the Jaguars Radio Network and with the Jaguars, and every Tuesday they're going to bring some food for us to sample. I know that doesn't do you any good, but here's where it will. If you're coming to the stadium this coming Saturday night for the game, they're going to have a tractor trailer set up outside in the Pepsi Plaza underneath the Bud Zone there, and you can sample every single thing that we're sampling here tonight. So the butterfly breaded shrimp, the clam strips, the mahi with pineapple, the salmon that they've got here, it's outrageously good, and you will have the chance to try it, courtesy of the good folks at Seabest. The coach will probably have to weigh in on this one as well. You can get it at Winn-Dixie's. You can get it at Harvey's, Walmart, Hitchcock's, many other local grocers. The food is unbelievable. Joe normally would not talk with food in his mouth, and yet here he is this evening doing just that.
That word best in their title, it's there for a reason.
Seabest, yeah. I highly recommend the salmon with Chef Paul's spices, seasoning on it. And the corporate folks, the corporate chef was here this evening setting the whole thing up. They're real excited about the partnership. Obviously, Joe and I like to eat, so we're real excited about it as well. As a Jags fan, you should be excited. More of the corporate community investing in the franchise. And more than that, they're going to be giving you samples on Saturday if you're coming to the game. So go by and say hi. All right, Jaguars practicing this evening. They'll practice tomorrow, getting ready for Saturday night against the Miami Dolphins. And that's going to be a test. Now, if Tyson Alualu, have I got that right finally?
No.
Gosh.
Alualu.
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 I'll just call him Tyson and everyone will know. Alualu.
Alualu.
I just, for whatever reason, that's tripping me up.
Well, it's because you're really a baseball guy and you're thinking of the Alou brothers.
No, I am not a baseball
guy. It's not Alou. It's Alu.
Is baseball season going on right now? I wouldn't even know. But if Campman and Alualu,
I got it right that time. Boy, that's going to take some. I always call him Tyson. If they're not in there, it's not going to be as much of a measuring stick as it probably could be for Jack Del Rio and his football team. You remember they came here, the Dolphins did last December, and ran the ball, pounded it with Ricky Williams. I think he had 118. They had 146. But they controlled the tempo of the game, 35 minutes, and it set up play action for Chad Henne, completed 21 of 29 that day. So they were just in control because of their running game. The Jaguars couldn't stop it. And in the Del Rio era, that's been the thing they've prided themselves on here, is run the ball, stop the run. And they couldn't do it last year. And so Saturday night, if Tyson and Campman and Darrell Smith are all in the field, along with Derek Harvey, who plays the run pretty well, and Terrence Knighton, there's a measuring stick right there, a chance to see, okay, our offseason plan was strengthen the D-line. We've got to be able to stop the run, obviously, to force the tempo. Can we do that? Well, they didn't do it last week in Philadelphia, obviously, and so they need to see whether they can do it this Saturday night against the Miami Dolphins. We're due for a break. Let's take it right now. We'll return. The coach should join us momentarily here. I know he was going into a team meeting, getting ready for this evening's practice, but we hope to have him. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with you from the studios at Everbank Field. Saturday night, 7:30 for the broadcast. We will begin, for those of you here in the Jacksonville listening area, with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show at 4:30 on Saturday afternoon. Pick up Jaguars pregame at 6:30 for the rest of you around the network. Of course, after the game, the Winn-Dixie postgame show, and you can call in with your thoughts and questions with Marco and Pete and Cole on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-NFL-1. Obviously, folks have been featured, focused on the quarterback issue based on last Friday evening's outing by Luke McCown, best preseason passing performance in franchise history. Again, a big asterisk, preseason passing performance. He was magnificent. Tough to take it away. I think if I was going to leave you with any thought on the quarterback situation right now, and you probably have read this, if you haven't, the reality is that David is this team's starting quarterback, and they are judging him on everything he's done from the time that the offseason conditioning program began in late March through the on-the-field activities, through training camp. So one really strong performance is in and of itself not going to change the lineup. See what you may see. It becomes an issue. Too much credit, too much blame. It rolls around no matter how you see it. But the fact of the matter is that there is no quarterback controversy in Jacksonville. Jack Del Rio sidestepped it. In fact, no, he didn't sidestep it. That's the wrong way to portray it. What he did was say, it doesn't exist. David's the guy. Now, if Luke continues to play well like that, he may earn some snaps against the ones. And if he continues to do that and David doesn't, well, I mean, they're not stupid. I mean, they're going to go and make the move that's best for the football team. But the fact is, I think everybody in this building expects that David will play better. Now, you'll play better when you have Eugene Monroe, who is having a terrific camp before nicking his knee, and Evan Britton, who, again, had a tremendous offseason before I think it's a calf with him. So you've got two guys that are out, and you're playing with a group on the interior of the line that has to work with Paul McQuiston and Jordan Black. Jordan's a nice swing guy. Couldn't hold a starting job in Kansas City or in Houston, so he is what he is. He's a blocking tight end, and he's your third tackle, break glass in case of emergency. He's not Gene Monroe, and he's not Evan Britton. So when you're playing with those two guys now, your game plan changes, and it changes in a hurry. Could David have played better? Yeah, he could have played better. Could he play better on Saturday night? Yeah, but he's going to be tested against a front that's going to bring a lot of heat. And hopefully, the Jaguars have their two offensive tackles. So bring the thought, if you've got it, with respect to the quarterbacks, and Jack will probably do the same thing he did with the media, and that is to say, I understand where you're coming from. I get it. It's what drives the league. It's a quarterback league. But truthfully, we're not going down that road here. He can't, you know. I asked Tony Boselli and Jeff Loggeman on Jaguars All Access on CBS 47 here last night, you know, what were their thoughts on it? And, of course, two distinct thoughts, right? Offensive lineman, defensive lineman. From Jeff's perspective, and he's about as consistent a thinker as I've ever known, he has always said that every position should be open every single year. Now, in the salary cap era, that's easier said than done. when you're paying Peyton Manning $15, $18, $20 million a year, clearly, there is no competition there. And he's the man. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League, one of the two best quarterbacks. So that's not always. It's not always the situation. But 99% of the time, Jeff says, it's open competition. Why treat the quarterbacks any different? Let them earn it. Best guy plays. Now, Buscelli says you can't do that. The quarterback is the man. He's the leader of the offense. In fact, he rebuked Jeff on the air last night and said, that's why you play defense. Because in the offensive huddle, the quarterback's got to be the same guy game in and game out. Doesn't always happen that way with injuries, but you got to have the consistency. It's got to be that guy. So the quarterback controversy hopefully has been thoroughly addressed. But again, you are welcome to bring it up when Jack rolls into the show, hopefully in the next 10, 12 minutes or so, because I know he's got to get out to the practice field sooner rather than later. Obviously, the quarterback issue was the big one coming out of last week. The return man was the other one. And if you saw the game or if you just got to listen to the game, you know, these are two guys that combine now. We're talking about Deje Kareem and Scotty McGee, a couple of sixth-round picks. Kareem obviously is going to be a guy who's going to have a role on the offensive side of the ball. Explosive. In fact, I think he has more explosiveness than McGee. McGee is a guy, he's like a weeble wobble. I don't know whether you saw, but on those two returns, he got hit. Joe, he got plastered on the sideline, and he didn't go down. I mean, now he's only 5'6", but when he puts a hand on the ground, he can keep himself up. You know, tripoding is not that difficult to do when you're that close to the ground, but they couldn't knock him over. I mean, it took three and four guys to get him down. So he's going to bounce off of defenders. He's going to make things happen by being difficult to tackle. Meanwhile, Kareem, if he finds a seam, whoosh.
Yeah, but you don't really want to see that in these preseason games, do you? I mean, he's going to get his head knocked off.
He's only going to make the team, and Jeff said this, and Jack has said it. He's only going to make the team as a return man. That means he's got to show you he can take it. You know, Brian Witherspoon's a guy the Jaguars had here 2 years ago for the whole season. Last year he was on and off. Remember, Brian, I mean, electrifying speed. I mean, if he got free in the open field, I remember opening day 2008 in Nashville. Jaguars got beat that day. Couldn't really get a lot going, but he was a bright spot because he was so quick. But he couldn't stay healthy. With him, it was just a rash of soft tissue injuries. You got to see whether these guys can take this beating over and over and over again. Can they handle the ball 8, 10, 12 times a game? So you're going to want them to take the beating. And I haven't seen either one of them really struggling.
It did seem like with Kareem, there were a couple of times when he was just one man away from just running away from everybody.
And so often, and Russ Purnell and the special teams coaches can tell you this, so often in the National Football League, it's vision. It's learning to see what's going on. As opposed to having that tunnel vision and just trucking down the field, it's understanding, you know, what do the Titans do with their coverage team? How do they like to use their guys? Who tends to run across the field? Is the kicker the only man left? Where's the speed coming from? It's just all the information they can assimilate on the practice field and in the meeting rooms all week long. It's a learning curve. It's just like Peyton Manning. When Manning lines up, he has so thoroughly evaluated, analyzed the opponent. He knows the defense. He knows the coordinator. He knows the head coach. He knows what every player likes to do. Same thing with the return man. Even though it's not the exact same thing, he understands what his team is doing, what the other team is doing. It's not just raw athleticism. It's the raw athleticism that pulls you away, but it's not raw athleticism that takes you down the field.
But that's not just your 8-hour day. You got to put in the extra time.
Oh.
You got to do things. You got to look at film. You got to practice more than just what you're required to do.
And that's McGee. You know, he's going to get reps on the practice field as a corner because if he makes the team, he's going to have to be a guy that can play. He's going to be active on game day. So he's going to have to be able to contribute in case of injury. He's going to have to do that. But game in, game out, he's a guy that's going to have to be able to give you field position, and he appears to have the ability to do that. All right, we'll take your calls when we return. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on a Tuesday evening from the broadcast studios at Everbank Field. And we're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Rolling right along here on a Tuesday evening. Brian Sexton along with Joe Fortunato. Jags exec Bill Houston making his way into the studio this evening. I guess he smelled the Seabest seafood. And that shrimp is disappearing very, very quickly. Glad you made it, Billy. Good to see you. The salmon, the mahi. Remember, you can sample all of these things when you come to the stadium on Saturday night for the Jaguars game. Just go through the Pepsi Plaza there, and you will see Seabest set up with the best seafood that Joe and I have eaten in a really long time.
You know,
salmon's outrageous.
Aside from any of them trying to make a sale, I haven't seen any salesperson move that fast to get out of here when he thought you were going to put him on the air.
Oh, that's a cheap shot. That's a cheap shot, but we'll take it because he's gone. Seabest Seafood, folks, they're a proud sponsor of the Jaguars. You can get it at Winn-Dixie and Walmart here in Jacksonville. Highly recommend it, but make sure that if you're coming to the game on Saturday, you get some of this. The clam strips and the shrimp, I believe, are what they're going to be featuring. And, well, they're going to be out there every single game. So get ready for it. All right, a couple ways you can participate in the show this evening. The phone lines are starting to light up. You can join us, 800-355-NFL1, or you can hit us up on Twitter, at Jags, J-A-G-S, voice, and I will take your question and forward them to the coach. As you know, if you've been listening for the last 20 minutes or so, the coach is not with us yet. So in an attempt to keep the program lively and entertaining, I will field some of the questions. And we will move them along and get them back in the coach's hands when he does arrive for the program this evening. But John Brown wants to know, you know, what do you think of Osgood, meaning Kasim Osgood, besides special teams? Well, from the game Friday night, if that's what you're asking, John, I don't know that much more about it because he only caught one ball for 1 yard. I will tell you, I wasn't here for that very first practice of training camp that morning where he dropped three balls. I was here that evening when he caught three passes. I have not seen him with the hard hands that others have. Whenever he has had trouble catching the ball, I either haven't been there or I've been overworking with the offensive and defensive linemen, watching those guys. So I really haven't seen him drop that many passes. I'll tell you this. When you watch Kasim Osgood run, you are looking at the prototypical wide receiver. 6'5", I mean big 6'5", too now. Broad shoulders, long arms, big hands, and he runs like a gazelle. I mean, the guy is just, there's an old saying in the NFL, you know, look like Tarzan, play like Jane. And the word on him with receivers was that he looked like Tarzan, but he didn't play like Tarzan. I don't want to say he played like Jane because I never heard that, but he was never able to, you know, rise into that category of red zone threat or consistent receiver. And the folks in San Diego had him all those years. Three-time Pro Bowl special team guy. And you saw on that punt that he and Podlesh worked together on where he downed it at the 1 yard line. I mean, that's it. He got down there fast. He's got big hands. He reached and put that ball down on the 1 yard line. Hey, every defensive coordinator in the league would love to have a guy like Osgood who could make that happen. He's going to be active on game day, you know, talking to Todd Monken and Dirk Cutter and some of the – he's going to be there because he's a special team star. He's going to be active. So they're going to have a role for him. What that role is, it's anybody's guess right now. I mean, you'd like to think that a guy that big would be in a red zone role because he can jump up and catch the ball. But he didn't really get that job in San Diego with Phillip Rivers. So is it going to be, you know, third down guy because he's so big? Obviously, he can get off the line of scrimmage. I don't know. They're working on it with him. And Todd Monken told me probably 2 weeks ago that if he'll just settle down a little bit. And, you know, by the way, they said the same thing about Kyle Brady when he came into the National Football League. They called him a high heartbeat guy, you know. His heart would start beating fast, and it wasn't until he learned to calm down, you know, that. And I think that happened when he got, you know, into 2000. Well, 98, 99, and then, of course, 2000, he had a huge year with those 64 catches and a couple of 100-yard games, you started to see it. So maybe, you know, maybe that's where Kasim is. But he looks the part, and he runs so well, and he showed great hands in clutching that ball before it bounced into the end zone. I'm going to tell you, I'm impressed with what I've seen so far. Now it's up to Dirk Cutter and Todd Monken and David Garrard to figure out a way to put the ball in his hands. All right, that's a Twitter question, folks. At Jags Voice, we will work them into the broadcast tonight. Jaguars this week, tomorrow night, for those of you who are listening locally in Jacksonville, and on game days. We're going to do it during the preseason for sure, and we're talking about extending it into the regular season. So you want to be interactive with us here, can't get to the phone, dial us up via Twitter. Or you can actually call us, as Dave in St. Augustine has elected to do. Dave, good to hear from you tonight. How are you?
What's up, Brian? I'm doing real good. I just Twittered you that you know, it's just left to right across your radio display.
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying that, and that's what I'm going to use from this point on. I guess I'll give up the old Kaywood Ledford, the legendary voice of the Kentucky Wildcats, was the first guy to say left to right across your radio dial. I heard it from Bob Starr and Bob Costas doing St. Louis Cardinals football games and it's stuck in my lexicon. But I guess if I'm going to tweet and use Twitter, I got to come into the 21st century.
Don't stop.
Well,
all right.
Just put yourself up there with those huge names, and you're passing the torch on to the next generation.
Well, it's fun no matter how you look at it, Dave. But how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to comment on something I saw on the game Friday night.
Sure, fire away.
When Tyquan Underwood caught his touchdown,
yes.
There was a lot of camera footage of him on the sideline with the rest of the players, and you can really just see the chemistry on the team, the camaraderie. I mean, I know it's easy to celebrate and be happy when we were up at the time, but there was not one guy on that sideline who did not give him a hug, who was not happy for him. You know, there was not one person that was down and out about what was going on. You know, Kasim Osgood was celebrating with him, and it's just very obvious to see the chemistry on this team, and it's nice to see. I really feel like that's going to be beneficial for this team, and I guess it's a testament to the guys that Gene Smith is bringing in. But I really feel like this team is going to be fun to watch, and just that chemistry and that the positive vibes are going to shine, you know, on the field.
It doesn't just happen. You know that, Dave? The coach, the staff, the environment, they work hard, really hard, to bring in the right kinds of players and then to do the right things with them, to generate, to foster that kind of chemistry, camaraderie, teamwork. It doesn't just happen. And in 2008, we all talked about how rotten it was, and now here in 2010, you can see how good it is. That didn't just happen. There was a great deal of emphasis placed on the kinds of people and the kinds of things the Jaguars do. So appreciate the call, as always, from St. Augustine. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be joined by the head coach of the Jaguars, live from the broadcast studios inside Everbank Field. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Brian Sexton now with the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. Team meeting, you've got Team Teal folks out there tonight. You've had the stadium employees, you had sponsorship last night, you've had some good crowds out there, kind of to wrap up training camp, because if I'm not mistaken, you break camp tomorrow. Guys go home to their families.
We do.
Are you excited about that?
I am.
Joe, you all right over there? Okay. Anyway, folks, if you want to join us, 800-355-NFL1, 355-NFL1, at Jags Voice on the Twitter, and we are looking for your calls, questions, and comments.
So we had Dave talking about chemistry, because I walked in, yeah, obviously, right at the end of that call, and we were down in the team room and during a team meeting, and I was witnessing some of that chemistry. You know, it's that time of year. Tomorrow is the rookie show. And so, you know,
that'll do a lot for chemistry.
It was a little bit of a preview, okay. You know, a little bit of a preview. You know, a few guys dancing, a few guys singing, one guy playing electric guitar. So, you know, there's, you know, a little preview of what's okay to come tomorrow for the rookie show. So I kind of let it go because the guys were enjoying themselves. And, of course, you know, we'll go out and have a nice physical practice tonight, which is really what I'm after. But it was great to see. I think there's a real genuine – I think Dave was right. Appreciate Dave calling in from St. Aug. And he's right. There is a genuine bond, a chemistry, a positive energy in our building right now. And, you know, we have worked hard, as you said, in terms of trying to address that and trying to make that a strength of ours. And we have made some progress.
Well, you heard my answer to him, and that was it didn't just happen. It was something that you worked actively at. I don't, yes, want to say – you tell me, is it as important to you to have that kind of chemistry in your locker room, you know, in your meeting room, as it is on your sideline?
Well, I do believe that football is the ultimate team sport. And I do believe that when you're when you have a group of men that are in pursuit of a common goal and there's that unified will, I do believe that you can play above your collective talent base. And I do believe if you don't have that, you tend to play below your collective talent base. So we want to maximize. We want to do everything we can to maximize what we can be, the potential we have as a group of men.
All right. Training camp obviously is not open to the public anymore. So give us a sense what the last couple of days have been like for your team after coming home from Philadelphia on early Saturday morning.
Well, it's been good. We've just about completed installation.
When you say that, are you talking about your entire playbook?
Yeah.
Wow.
defensively anyway. We've still got a few things offensively we're putting in. And so we've begun now the review process. And so to give you an example, early in camp you may, you know, at the end of a practice have 7, 8 mental errors where you're installing, it's new, people, you know, they struggle with the learning. And all right, last night we had 0. So when you have a 0, you go through practice, that means, all right, they're starting to get comfortable with what we're asking them to do, the adjustments are sound and solid. And all of a sudden those gaps that you see where routine plays are not being made, where I was frustrated the other night, now all of a sudden you start making those plays. And it starts, you know, those holes start to close a little quicker and coverage gets a little tighter because you're not blowing coverages and, you know, things like that. And so I'm beginning to see some of that, which is great because you have to have that. It's a necessary step. And until you get that, you have no chance on defense, which is what I alluded to the other night. So progress is being made.
I know you don't have to make an injury report yet. How are your guys who have been injured? Are they starting to make progress in terms of getting back on the field? And it's not that you need them to play this week necessarily, but you need that chemistry. You need the time. They need the time to
get
better.
They do need the time. You know, the one thing we want to do, we start here at home, 3 of our first 4 right here in Jacksonville. It'll be nice and warm. And we want to make, you know, the Mr. Sun our friend. And in order to do that, the guys have to be in shape. And we're working, the guys that are available are working and paying the price right now. I'm a little concerned with the guys that aren't working,
right,
that their conditioning has fallen behind. And that's my biggest concern right now.
You know, Jaguars All Access last night, I asked Tony Boselli, hey, you know, with a guy like Mike Walker, would you be cautious from this point forward, knowing his injury history, work him, you know, to the point, but don't push him? And he said, no, I wouldn't. There's so many young guys on your team who are critical components, whether it's the offensive tackles or receivers or whoever they may be, that they need to work. You got to have them out there with this particular team. That was his perspective.
Oh, it was a great perspective. I think it shows you how much he's matured. You know, I'm sure if when he was a young player, he would have claimed that he's got it. He needs to be healthy. So, like a former player.
Yeah,
you know,
probably right. But there is a little element of truth in that, because when you look at Mike Walker, who's your number one guy, he's only started 15 games. I mean, it's tough to, he's been around here long enough, but when you look at him, you think, wow, he's only started 15
games.
That's
right. That's right. I mean, really, last year was the first year he was healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yes, absolutely. There's a reason that when you look at the Hall of Fame inductees and you look at a Jerry Rice, you look at an Emmitt Smith, and you look at a Johnny Randall, and you find out, what's the common denominator with all these guys? How did they become great? They worked at it.
Yeah.
They were tireless workers. I mean, there's just no shortcut to success. If you're going to be great in this league, whether it's personally or collectively as a team, you've got to pay a price. You've got to work. Now, as a coach, I'm always looking to strike that balance. And
that's a tough one.
It is very tough, but you have to reach. You have to look for it, because as a coach, I was able to work under Brian Billick the year we won the Super Bowl, and he did a great job of. He didn't grind our veterans into the ground where they didn't have anything on Sundays. There was a freshness about our football team throughout the year, and I learned a lot during that season. In terms of while you're preparing your team, there are young guys that you have to push. There are older guys you have to take care of if you're going to get the best out of them in September through, you know, December, when it starts to count for the playoff run.
All right, folks, we've got more to come with the head coach, Jack Del Rio. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline and get $2 in Jag Bucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. We'll take this break and return. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton, along with the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio, live from the broadcast facilities inside Everbank Field. And folks, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. More fashion and less price. Miami comes in Saturday night, and I know you're not game planning all that much, but to some degree, are you eager to see how your team stands up? Because, I mean, that's a team that ran the ball pretty well on you last year when they came up here, and you revamped your defense. So if you've got everybody, it should be a fun game on Saturday night, at least a measuring stick, right?
Well, it'll definitely be a great physical contest. They're a physical team. Tony Sperano's done a nice job. Bill Parcells building that football team to run the football. They've got a good young quarterback, and it'll be a test. I mean, 2 years ago they were in the playoffs. Last year they didn't get there. They're looking to rebound and get themselves back in there. And obviously, last year that game we had here, we had some opportunities. We ended up losing 14-10.
Right.
We had some opportunities in that game. But, this will be a great contest for us, a great measuring stick during the preseason to just kind of see where you are as a football team in terms of being physical.
Who played well on your defensive line last week? Who did you look at?
Terrence Knighton.
Okay. The only one that really stood out? I mean, you didn't have Tyson.
Yeah.
You didn't have Aaron.
Yeah. No, he stood out. I think. I mean, you're asking who played well. I think he played very well. I think, there were flashes here and there of other people.
How about Larry Hart?
Larry Hart flashed.
Did he?
Flashed some, yeah.
There was one drive on Jason Peters where he bull rushed him into the backfield, and I thought, wow.
Yeah, no, he's got some power. You know, he got down the middle too often last week, and I think he learned a little bit from that experience.
You say down the middle. Joe Collins always talked about playing the edge. Is that what you're
referring to? You're on the edge is where you want to be, and right. Down the middle is not good.
Yeah, not against a big guy like Jason Peters.
Every now and then there's a changeup to catch, to leverage him back and crush the pocket. It's not a bad thing, but you can't make a habit of going down the middle of NFL linemen.
How about some of those young guys that got their first taste of real game action? What was their reaction?
I mean, like,
Hart's one that stands out.
And yep.
Trying to think of who else because Austin didn't play.
No, the other two are hurt.
The two return men, yeah.
Yeah, so.
And they were fun.
Yeah, the returners were exciting. That was electrifying.
Scotty McGee's going to be tough to tackle.
Yeah, yeah, he
held his ground pretty well.
He's got some real energy about him.
Yeah, I know that's something you're looking for in those guys. And of course, Kareem showed us with that flash through.
Yeah, they both can really run. So there's definitely an element there to our run game that we're excited about seeing more. You know, at this point, you're looking at two young guys that had a great start in their first preseason game and. You know, obviously we want to see them sustain it. It's really about consistency. Can we trust these young men to be the guy back there?
Got a question earlier, real quick. He wanted to know your thoughts on Kasim Osgood. Obviously, the special teams play was exactly what you thought you were getting.
Yes.
And you only had one catch from him for 1 yard the other night. But overall, as a package, what you've seen from him over the preseason?
We think when there's a yard to get that we can really use him.
He's pretty big, dude.
Just kidding. No, he's a big guy. He's doing a nice job here. He's got a chance to really be a guy as a physical receiver that we have a role for to come in the game and give us some assistance. You know, whether it's running the ball, whether it's red zone, whether it's times when you want a big guy.
Right.
And he is a big guy. And he's a mismatch as a special teams weapon. I mean, he's too fast and too big. For most of the smaller DBs that he's going to get matched up against. And so he's been so good for a long time because of the way he works at it.
Take a quick break. One more segment with the head coach. And then we will wrap up the Jack Del Rio Show. You're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach. We're going to do about 2 minutes here. And then the coach has got to get out to the practice field. Miami comes in. What do you have at? Two more weeks before you have to start reducing your roster?
I don't have the
you got to get through the third preseason game. The third preseason game.
I'd have to refer to my calendar right now.
Generally, it's a Tuesday, and then you got to have it done by Sunday before the start. So
that's correct.
And you break camp. You go to a regular season routine this week?
Yes.
Right. And what's the value of that?
Well, closer to a regular season.
You're going to go to some afternoon practices.
That's right. That's the value, is that we're going to play in the afternoon to start the year. We'll play here at 1 o'clock, and so we'll start practicing, around that time. It'll be actually about 1:30, but we'll be out there early. We'll be out there at the time of day that our games are typically going to go off here.
Other than the guys who obviously have been sidelined with injury, how close is your team to that son is your ally, your friend conditioning level?
We're working on it.
Does that mean you're going to be running tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
We ran last night, ran the night before, and we'll run again tonight. And we have to have that. This is the part of training camp now. We're really in the third week. You get 2 weeks prior to your first game. We're in that third week. It's a critical week for us. And all of those that are healthy enough will be conditioning. And as a football team, we need that.
Offensive side of the football, the receivers. Obviously, we talked a lot about the quarterbacks this week. Tyquan Underwood made that big catch, and I know there were a lot of folks. Dave even alluded to it when his call from St. Augustine. He saw a lot of smiles on the sideline when Tyquan caught that ball. I mean,
sure.
He's a great example of what you do, develop players, because he came in here, I don't want to say too skinny, not strong enough, but generally that was it. He needed to get bigger and more physical. to get off the line of scrimmage.
He's still a little bit skinny. He's always going to be a little thin.
Wouldn't we all like to have that problem?
Yeah, right. But he has done a great job of working in the weight room, got himself a little stronger. He's playing with a lot more confidence, and he can really run. I mean, the one thing about he and Troy Williamson is they can both flat-out fly. So it was great to see us hit them on a couple deep balls. I think Luke did a great job on a couple real nice anticipation throws the other night.
That one to John Matthews in the end zone was –
great throw.
That was pretty.
He threw it, and it was like, turn your head around, hurry up.
Yeah.
And he got his head around, boom, touchdown. It was a great play. And we're looking for some of that vertical element in our passing game.
All right, Coach. We know you got to get to the practice field. By the way, CBest.
Excellent.
Every Tuesday night. Bring your appetite.
Can we give them some credit? I mean,
yeah. Oh, I've been giving them credit.
Okay.
The first half hour, gave them plenty of credit. You got any requests? They said, let's make them because they'll bring anything you want. CBest. It's the best.
Do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Right. That's the coach. We'll see you out of the practice field. One more segment to come here, and we will wrap up the Jack Del Rio Show after this on Jaguars Radio.